This is the Life Church Podcast.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Okay, now you guys are a lot more happier when Chris was up here. Amen. I do want to echo what Chris was saying, Pastor Chris was saying about the generosity. You guys have been fantastic. And I say this from time to time, but I'm proud to be a pastor here at this church, because it's a community of people that are really about moving forward in the kingdom of God, and truly, truly, you know, not just talking about it, not just letting it be sort of a ritual of life, but really just a reality of your everyday walk with Christ. And I'm proud to be a pastor here. So thank you guys for your amazing generosity and for your love. As you can see, I've got a little bit of a voice issue, and this is not good when it's the first of three services. I was sitting there thinking a second ago, I said, man, I wish I had that nurse, not circa 1986 in New Laredo, Mexico. I was speaking at this big meeting that I had been asked to speak at. I don't know why. I was a very young preacher and didn't know a whole lot, but I was asked to speak, and the second night, there was a three-night big city kind of wide kind of thing, and so the first night, there was like 10,000 people there, and they said it was going to get bigger every night, so I got really nervous. But the day of that I was supposed to speak, I got like sick like this, and my voice was literally almost gone. And so I was lying in this my friend's grandmother's house on a bed there in the house, and they said, we're sending somebody, a nurse, is gonna, you know, they're gonna give you a shot, they said. I'm like, okay. I couldn't speak at all. And so this nurse shows up, and I am not kidding you. Now, I speak Spanish fluently, okay? I do speak Spanish fluently. But she walks in, and she cannot see. She's literally blind. And she's kind of making her way through the bedroom to find me on the bed to give me a shot. And so she's doing, because she can't see, and I speak, I'm saying, yo hablo español, I speak Spanish, you know, but she thinks I don't speak Spanish. I don't know what it was. She couldn't hear maybe too, I don't know. But so she's like reaching, and she's doing this, making these motions like bend over kind of thing, you know. So I bend over, and she feels my backside and gave me a shot. Blind nurse gave me a shot in my butt. I don't know what she gave me, but like 2 hours later, I could sing. My voice was completely back, and I kind of wish that nurse was around right now, actually. Anyway, sorry, it has nothing to do with today's message, but today we're starting a new series called All In, and the reality is that there are some things you cannot do halfway. There are some things in life that are an all or nothing proposition. I remember when I was a young kid, I was seventh grade, living in the country of Panama. I was attending Department of Defense schools there, Canal Zone schools, and I went to the Fort Clayton swimming pool. Fort Clayton was a military base there, and I went to the Fort Clayton swimming pool to go swimming. Of course, there was a friend of mine there, a female friend of mine, and that's why I was there. And so I showed up at this swimming pool, and we're swimming around and everything, and all these really brave guys were walking up on this high dive, and they were diving off this high dive. And so I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, I've mustered up the courage to go up this high dive and dive off this high dive. And of course, my only motivation was that the girl was there, you know. So I go up this high dive, and I start making my way up. I mean, it's like 1,000 feet up there, it seemed like. You know, I'm like climbing all the way up to the top of that high dive. I get all the way up to the top, and I lean on the, I hang off the edge and look out, and everybody looked like ants down there. It was so high up in the air. That's how it felt. And so, be honest with you, I got to the very edge of that dive, and all of a sudden I said, nah, I'm not going to do this. This is way up here. And so I decided to turn around. But the problem was that there was a line of people behind me. And I thought, well, that's okay. I'll go through the humiliation of excuse me, you know, make my way all the way back down to the bottom. But the problem is that my friend Jose Nissenbaum was right behind me. And Jose, I turn around to say, you know, hey, I'm not going to dive. And he looked at me and says, there's only one way down. It's not this way. And so I ended up diving off that high dive, and I went feet first, you know, and landed in the water. And I felt, man, it's like those Acapulco divers, they have nothing on me, you know, kind of thing, you know. And I was feeling good about myself. Fast forward 1990, my wife and I, we kind of go down to Panama to kind of revisit the area. And we drove by the Fort Clayton swimming pool, and here's the high dive, maybe 15 feet off the ground. It wasn't that much, but it felt incredibly scary. And I think the truth is that that's how life is for a lot of us, right? We're not sure if we're going to dive, if we're going to go all in or not. But the truth, all of us have to come to this place. You're either in or you're not. You can either fall back in fear or you can lunge forward in faith. And I think the Christian life is much like that. Being a Christ follower was never meant to be a half-hearted thing. Jesus invites all of us to a life with him, and he invites us to go all in with him, every one of us. And that's why every time I preach, my sermons always end with a call to, are you going to go all in? Are you going to go all in? So the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be all in the Christian life. And I get it. Going all in can be kind of scary. It can cost us. It's not uncommon when you are following Christ that it means that you're going against the tide, or you're going against the grain of this world, right? It feels really, really hard. It can be uncomfortable. Sometimes you actually feel like you're in way over your head. I know that's how I felt when I first became a follower of Christ. I just wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. It seemed really, really hard. I was definitely in over my head. I was sitting in a church. I had no idea what was going on. I had Sister Slate with the big, gigantic hair, and she would shake it because she'd get all excited because of the Holy Spirit, and I just didn't know what was going on, you know, and I felt in over my head. And then because I became a Christ follower, I became aware of some of the addictive behaviors that I had. And now I was feeling this thing inside of me that I had to change my behaviors. Things had to change in my life because I wasn't conscious of them before that. But once I became a follower of Christ, I became conscious of my behaviors. And I definitely felt like I was in over my head. And I think some of you here this morning might feel that way as well in your everyday walk with Christ. Maybe you're new to the faith. Maybe you're not. You know, this is a new thing for you, or maybe you're just coming back to the faith, but you're really, really struggling because there's things that you're dealing with, patterns of behavior that are needing to change. You're trying to faithfully follow Christ, and man, it's hard. We're going to look at this passage in Romans chapter 12 today that I think will help us on this. See, I think often when we are in over our head, we feel tempted to pull back. We feel tempted to just be ordinary, right? That you know, I could go to church. I could just go every once in a while. I don't have to go all in. Those are the radical Christians. Those are the extreme people. I don't have to do that. I can just go. I can just kind of maintain, go at the middle road. And we feel tempted to kind of step back, just be ordinary. And the reality is that Christ calls us to go all in. And it feels counterintuitive. But the only way forward. The only way forward in Christianity is a life that's all in with Christ. Much like that high dive. There was only one way down, and that was jumping forward in faith, right? This is what I've discovered, though, when you go out on that limb of faith, often when you go out on that limb of faith, that's when God does his best work in you. And so I'm going to ask you over the next 4 weeks, as we talk about what it means to go all in, to keep this in mind. It's risky. It's scary. Sometimes it's counterintuitive. Sometimes it's like it doesn't even make sense according to the world standards. But yet, when you step out in that direction, when you take that step of faith, when you risk, you will begin to experience God like you've never experienced him before. Romans, in the book of Romans, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And this book, if you read the book, if you're a new believer, you probably read the book of Romans like, I have no idea what's going on here, which I get it, because it's chock full of theology and doctrine. In fact, what most evangelical churches in the world now believe as their fundamental doctrines come from the book of Romans. That's true. Now, we're going to look at Romans 12, and Romans chapter 12, verse 1 starts with a word, therefore. That's a kind of a transition word, right? When you use the word therefore, that means you kind of have to pay attention to what was said before the therefore. What was Paul talking about before we go into what he's about to talk about? And so in the book of Romans, you actually have four different therefores. And what it is, Paul is doing this building block thing. He's kind of teaching us and showing us how a person can go from no faith whatsoever to a life that is all in. And here's what the challenge is for all of us today, is we need to understand that we're moving in that direction. I'll talk about that in a minute, but we need to understand that we're moving in that direction. That God is actually inviting every single one of us. So just in case you're sitting here right now, you're thinking, well, I don't really belong to this church, or maybe you're thinking, I've been a Christian for 35 years, it's not for me, or maybe you're thinking like, I'm a brand new Christian, I don't even understand what he's talking about, it's really not for me. This is for every single one of us, including the guy standing up here preaching to you. God is inviting every single one of us to go all in for him. Every one of us. Every one of us. So let me talk a little bit about the four therefores you find in the book of Romans. It's kind of like I said, it's building blocks that Paul has. The first therefore is the therefore of sin. It's found in Romans 3:20. He says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So Paul here is saying, listen, everybody, every single one of us, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And you can't work your way into being good with God. You can't make that happen. You can't manufacture it. You can't give enough money in the offering. You can't attend church enough. You can't do any of those things enough to make yourself right with God. We are all sinners. Then the second, therefore, is the therefore of salvation. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse, Paul talks about what we talked about the last month, right? We spent the whole month talking about grace. Grace is greater. This unmerited favor that we have from God that we didn't earn it. Again, you know, you can't give enough, you can't attend church enough to earn this. That God has actually given it to us by his grace through faith. That we have been justified, he says. That word justified, people use that word and they say it's just as if it never happened. In other words, just as if your sin never happened. That means that when Jesus looks at you, he doesn't look at you and see your sin. He looks at you and he sees what Christ did on the cross. If you have given your life to Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then he looks at you and he says, oh, I don't see Rich. Because Rich, he still screws up a lot. Rich, I see Christ. I see what Jesus did on the cross, that he's been forgiven. Now, the truth is that Paul does follow that up in Romans 6 and said, hey, but this is not a license to sin. This grace that you have received, this unmerited favor that you have received is not a license for you to just continue to go to sin. In fact, Paul makes fun of it. He says, why would you do that? Why would you be in prison, be set free from prison, and then decide to go back to prison again? It doesn't make any sense, right? Because we have received salvation through Christ. Now, the third, I'm not supposed to spend this much time on these, so let me move on. The third, therefore, is the therefore of security. It's found in Romans 8:1. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because of the amazing power of God and what Jesus did on the cross, we have security in Christ. You don't have to walk around wondering, hey, man, am I saved today? I know I kind of grew up in a church where, you know, every time the pastor got up and preached, we would go to the altar and repent and give our life to Jesus over and over and over again. We don't have to walk. We are secure in Christ because of what he did on the cross, not because of my everyday efforts. In fact, repenting every single Sunday and going and giving your life to Christ every single Sunday is just an admission that you're not secure, that you really haven't experienced the grace of God that God has given. So anyways, Those are the first three. Then the fourth one is what's called oftentimes a therefore of service. And it's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We won't read it right now, but basically this is the all-in therefore. The all-in therefore. That since God has given us these amazing gifts, salvation and security, that we should want to serve him. That we should want to give our lives over to him. That we should desire to step in, to go all in for Christ, essentially. That's what he's talking about. Now, Romans 12, 1 is kind of this transition point. Up to this point, Paul has been kind of talking about what we believe, what you should believe, right? He's kind of laying this foundation of our belief system. But then he pivots, or he changes direction. He shifts gears in Romans 12, 1, and he starts talking about how we should behave, how we should live, right? That's essentially the and Paul does that in almost every one of his letters. If you read his letters, he gives a foundational theological work, and then he says, now, based on that, this is how you should live. This is how you should act, right? This is what Paul is telling us, right? That because of the stuff that we believe about our salvation, it should elicit this response in us to go all in for Christ. So to be all in, first of all, will require an ongoing transformation. You understand that, right? That becoming a Christ follower that's not the end. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that was the starting line. That was the very beginning of your life in Christ. There's still a race to be run. There's still a finish line to cross one day. And so we are all, that's why I said this message is for all of us. I don't care how long you've been in the faith, God is still calling you to be all in. I don't care how little you've been in the faith, God is still calling all of us to be all in. In Romans 12, 1, this is what he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that is, everything that he's done for you, the salvation, forgiveness of sin, salvation, and security, therefore, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Listen, God invites us to live our lives for him. You may not, there are Christians around the world that are giving their lives for Christ. There are Syrian Christians who are being beheaded because of their faith. You may not ever be asked to give your life for Christ, to die for Christ. But every one of us is asked to live for Christ. Every single one of us. Now Paul says here, he uses the word going all in as your true and proper worship. I like the Greek word he uses there. It's the word logikon. It's kind of where we get the word logical in English, right? And so essentially what Paul is saying is that since God has done all of this for you, it's only logical. It's only logical that you would offer yourselves back to him. Since God has paid the price and he's died on the cross and he's given everything, his entire life for you, shouldn't you respond by going all in for him? That's essentially what Paul is saying. Verse 2, he goes on. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You've probably heard this before. That word transform in the Greek is the word metamorpha. It's the word where we get the English word metamorphosis. So if you go back to fifth grade science, you remember, you know, the caterpillar who turns into the butterfly. It's this idea of a complete transformation. It's a visible. It's something. It's not just, oh yeah, you know, I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago. Nothing on the outside has really changed, but on the inside, I'm different. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what transformation is. It's a complete visible transformation. That's what Paul is talking about. That you're no longer that old person. You're now a new creature, a completely different person altogether because of faith in Christ Jesus. Now, many of you know what I'm talking about. There are some of you here that at one time in your life, alcohol controlled your life. It was destroying your marriage. Your kids were suffering. You were a prisoner. You were bound to it. But now, because of the transforming power of Christ, you could lead AA meetings because Christ has changed you. It's the transformational work of Christ. Others, some of you, you've had lawyers drawing up divorce papers. There was so much relational dysfunction in your life, so much stuff going on that you just couldn't live with each other anymore. Impossible to live with each other anymore. But because of the transformational power of Jesus Christ, you're now counseling other couples on how to have better marriages. This transformation thing, this is the real deal. Because God is in the business of taking what is broken and ugly and destroyed and useless and making it beautiful. That's what God is all about. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do that with every single one of us. Every single one of us are in this process of transformation. So according to Paul, you can either conform, that is, kind of be molded into the patterns of this world, kind of blend into the world. You know, you're the way you are in church and the way you are at work and the way you are, you know, it's all kind of, you're just like one of everybody else. Or you can be transformed. Now, he uses, notice that the way the verb usage here, he says be transformed. He doesn't say transform. He doesn't say transform yourself. That's not what he says. We are being transformed. It's not in your own power. God is in a process of changing you. Too often we feel that if I could just do this more, if I could just try harder, and I tell you, I sit with people all the time that just, they want to know, I just tried everything. I try and I try and I try, and it's just not working. And there's part of this that needs to be talked about. Because see, we're being transformed. It's not I'm transforming myself. See, I think what Paul is really saying here, that it's not about doing something, it's about yielding. It's about surrender. It's about stepping back and saying, okay, Lord, here I am. I've tried. I can't do it anymore. I need you to do it. I need you to work in me. I just want to respond to your promptings. You say right, I'll go right. You say left, I'll go left. Learning to surrender. Right? So what does surrender look like? I mean, I just talked about drinking, for example. You know, God comes along and says, hey, listen, your excessive drinking is destroying your family. It's destroying your family. It's going to end in complete destruction. You need to stop it. That's the Holy Spirit. And then you say, but God, I know I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried, I just can't. But God, because you say so, I'm just going to yield myself to you. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to stop. I really don't know. Sometimes I don't feel like I have the power within me. But yes, I will go home and I will empty out the fridge and I will get rid of it all. I'm just going to try, God. But here's the thing. God, I'm just going to surrender myself to you. I'm going to yield myself to you. That's essentially what being transformed is learning to surrender. That's hard for us, isn't it? Because we're a culture, we're like a do it, you know, we like, somebody says, hey, this needs to happen. We're like, yes, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to work this out myself. I have the ability. I have the know-how. I have the power. I'm going to do it myself. I also think that often our problem is that we want the benefits of a relationship with Christ. We don't always really want to lay aside our old way of living. But see, you need to know something. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It will always cost you more than you want to pay. It's always going to keep you there longer than you want to stay. That's why James tells us in James chapter 1, he says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. This is why we are in the process of transformation, right? When you conform, it results in death. When you're being transformed, when you submit yourself to Christ, when you yield yourself to Christ, it results in life and life abundant. So to be all in, first of all, requires an ongoing transformation. Second thing, to be all in will take active participation. Active participation. Romans 12 verse 4, Paul, now what's interesting to me is Paul talks about this idea, he's talking about salvation, right? And then he talks about this idea of transformation. And then immediately after he talks about transformation, he starts talking about serving, about using the gifts that God has given you to serve other people. And he makes a connection between your spiritual, here's my real quick one-liner. He makes a connection between your spiritual growth and your active participation. There's no such thing as saying, yeah, I will grow spiritually and sit back and do nothing. It doesn't happen. It's just like a child who needs to muscularly develop, but all they do is sit around. They don't develop, right? It's interesting. That's a little side note, but Romans 12:4 says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, Paul, when he wrote this, during the time of Paul's writing, the Roman world was a very divided world. The social structure of the Roman world was a caste system. That is, you were born into a certain social order, and you remain there for the rest of your life. If you were a cobbler, if you were born into a cobbler's family, your fate was to become a cobbler. If you were a guard, or your parents were slaves, you would eventually be a slave. That's just the way it was. And so Paul's words here are pretty revolutionary, actually. Very counterculture. But Paul is saying basically that we all are one body. We're meant to live in unity, and we belong to one another. You and I belong to one another. You may be here, you may be black, you may be white, you may be brown, but in God's kingdom, we're all one. We're one. And that's how God has designed it. So that's why when here at Life Church, somebody is all in, you might see a person who's a millionaire serving alongside a person who's a single mom barely making ends meet. And you'll see them in the lobby laughing and carrying on, and they're friends. Because they belong to each other. They're one. They're living in unity. Romans 12:6, he goes on. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, that is divinely inspired words, God gives you divinely inspired words, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So there's these gifts that Paul is, and we're not going to break down these gifts. We don't have time to break down these gifts. There's these gifts that Paul's talking about, and here's what you just need to know. Every person in this room, every single one of us, when you were born, God said, I'm going to give you this gift. I'm going to give you this gift. I'm going to give you this gift. I'm going to give you this. Every single one of us has a gift. And so I encourage you to kind of research that. Go into the scriptures and research it. In fact, there's three lists of gifts spoken of in the scriptures. You have this one in Romans 12. You have the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then there's another one in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you'd like to do some homework afterwards, you can go do that. Go check those out. But the point is that God has gifted you. Just like last week Jeff said that we have been wonderfully made, right, to do good works. God has gifted you to do good works. God has given me a gift. It's not for me. The gift that God has given me, it's not for me. It's for you. And the gift that God has given you, it's not for you. It's for me. And if I don't use my gift, then I'm cheating you. I'm robbing you. And if you don't use your gift, then you're robbing me or you're robbing others around you. That's what we are invited. That's why Paul is talking about. Since you're in this transformational process, since God is changing you, you're changing your life, that you're no longer the old person, you're now the new person, these gifts need to start being put into operation. You need to start using your gifts. That's what Paul is basically talking about. There are all kinds of gifts. Some of them are more visible than others, right? They're not necessarily more important, but they are more visible. Like, I have a hand, and I have a heart, right? I probably could live without my hand. I can't live without my heart. And at the heart of Life Church, there are so many people here that you never see. They're behind the scenes. They're serving. They're working. They're sacrificing. There are people that will
that kind of disappear and they go off into the room over there and they count the offering. There are some that are cleaning the church afterwards. There are those who come early on Sunday mornings and start serving, get things ready for donuts and coffee. I mean, there's all kinds of things happening behind the scenes. On Wednesday nights, we have adults in this church that serve our youth. So they come on Wednesday nights and they serve our youth. That's the heart. And it's because they've decided to go all in for Christ. So there's all kinds of gifts. And I don't know what yours is, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to do something. Around here, there are all kinds of opportunities as well to go all in, right? I don't know if you know this. Every single weekend, there's between 150 and 200 kids. Am I right when I say that? About 150 and 200 kids that are gathering in the kids area. It takes an army of people to serve those kids. It takes an army of all-in kind of people to serve those kids. And that happens every single Sunday. Every single Sunday. That's happening around here. Or maybe you would like to go all in and serve families in need. We have a ministry here that provides meals and assistance to families who have either they're new moms or they've had a baby, or they've had a loss of some type, you know, where maybe a family member's loss, or maybe they have some critical hospitalization and it's just a very difficult thing. And we have a ministry here called Special Cares Ministry that basically prepares meals and assists in other ways as well. And our leader, she's not here, but her name's Abby Flynn. I'd encourage you, if your gift is cooking, if God has gifted you and you could say, yeah, I'm a pretty good cook, I bet it would thrill you to serve some of those families in need around here. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. on two levels, okay? The first one is that you have that card. Now, the reason we have multiple services, the reason why we talk about multiple services here is because we want to give you an opportunity to be able to not just attend a church service, but to serve as well. And that's why we do two services. We want to give you an opportunity. Now, you may have found another opportunity at Life Church to serve outside of a Sunday morning. That's possible. But the majority of what we do happens on Sunday morning. And so if you're not serving in any capacity, I would encourage you to take this card and fill it out. And there's a list of different things. You have First Impressions, Life Kids, Worship Team, Worship and Tech Team, and Youth. You could check one of those. You can also, if you like, just write somewhere on the back of it, you know, what you're interested in, what your giftings are. Put your name and information on there. There's a drop box in the back of the auditorium. You can drop it there. Or you could take it to the Welcome Center and just drop it there as well. What I'll do is you just take this piece off and you can put this one somewhere visible, okay? Because once you turn this card in, somebody's going to give you a call and we're going to start a conversation with you and see where you fit best and how you can serve. But then the second appeal this morning is serving in a church or doing those kind of, using your gifts. You may be sitting here right now saying, but I'm not even sure. I don't know anything. I really haven't even given my life to Christ yet. I've never really surrendered my life to Jesus. I've been coming to church and yeah, I'm kind of sort of like on the edge, you know. I like the music, you know. I barely understand you, Rich, when you're preaching, but I like the music, you know, whatever. You might be that person. That's fine. You've never given your life to Christ, and I would want to challenge you this morning that today's the day that you can go all in. And I get it. It feels like you're standing on a high dive, and it's incredibly scary to just jump off. I get that. But just on the other side of that is a life that you would have never even dreamed of as you give your life to Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray in a second, and if you're here, I'll be up front here. Our prayer team will be here as well. And, you know, if you're here this morning and you'd like to talk about giving your life to Christ, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. So while Tony's leading us in a song of worship, I would just invite you to come. Amen. All right. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Father, that you're calling us and inviting us to a life all in with you. And for some people here this morning, that might mean that we start by giving our lives to you, Jesus, as our Lord and our Savior. For others here, Father, it's no longer sitting. Now it's time to action. It's time to step into using our gifts. Father, we ask, God, that you will just do that in Jesus' name.
This is the Life Church Podcast.